We live in the same world that hated Jesus. We live in the same world that rejected Jesus. We live in the same world that murdered Jesus. And let me tell you something, the mindset of our nation, the mindset of this world, it hasn't changed.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, it's great to have you joining us today for Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, "Beware of the unequal yoke." Let's listen in.
You're not in darkness anymore. Do you understand? We have the light of life. Man, Jesus is here and he is also in here. Amen? Oh, I thank God for that. Don't be unequally yoked, loved one. And here's why. Look at verse 15. And what harmony, that's what that word accord means, symphony. What harmony, what agreement, what coming together in common agreement has Christ with Abel? That word Abel is only there in the New Testament, no place else. That means the epitome of wickedness. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan, the one who is lawless and causes destruction. What, I mean, is there anything in common that Jesus and the devil have in common? Think about that for a minute. You don't be yoked up with anything but our Lord. Amen? Yes. No, they don't have anything in common. Why? Well, Satan is the enemy of God. He's your enemy too. There's not one person on earth he likes. He hates you, he hates everybody. He's the father of every lie. He's a murderer from the beginning. Satan destroys. Jesus gives life. That's what he does. I guess they do have something in common, Jesus and Satan. I hate to even put those two together, don't you? Both have a plan for your life. Jesus' plan is everlasting life in heaven. Satan's plan is eternal death for all eternity in the lake of fire with him. Man. Why would we want to yoke ourselves up with anything like that? And he says, or what part, or literally what share, agreement, that word means, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Well, the answer, we don't have any part with them. We don't have any share with them. But I'll tell you one thing, we do have a lot in common with the unbeliever. A believer does much. For example, you know, both are sinners, amen? Yes, both are loved equally by God, aren't they? God doesn't love the sinner that doesn't know Christ any more than he loves you. See, God is love. Not only that, did Jesus die for both sinner and saint? Yes, he died for us all. Did Jesus taste death for everyone? Yes, so there's much in common then. You know, Jesus offers, see, the new birth, the everlasting life, a new beginning to both. But you have to believe. You have to say, oh, Lord, I was a sinner. You saved me. I was an Adam, and you pulled me out of Adam. I am born from above. Amen? I have everlasting life now. That's what God wants for everybody. And then he says in verse 16, a very important verse, he says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now, the word temple there that's used is not the word for the outer court, which is heron in the Greek, meaning the outer court of the temple. It's the word naos in the Greek, which means the holy of holies. You see, we are the holy of holies of God. Amen? That's what that means. He says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And he says, for you, and that's plural, okay? So he's just not speaking to the individual here. He doesn't over in 1 Corinthians, but here he's speaking to the entire church at Corinth. He says, for you, he says, plural, are the temple or the naos of the living God. What did Paul just do to the church at Corinth? He hit them where it hurts the most. You know what they were doing. We studied out 1 Corinthians. They were sacrificing to demons. They were buying meats that had been offered to demons. They were going to Aphrodite there, you know, in the temple and all those things. Man, there can be no agreement, Paul says, between the church at Corinth, the temple of God, and idols. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:19? He says, what am I saying then? He's talking to the church at Corinth. That an idol is anything? In other words, an idol is not real. They're non-existent. And he says, and what is offered to an idol is anything. It's, in other words, it's nothing. There's no such thing as an idol, although there are idols, right? Yeah. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, guys, what's wrong with you? You know that Aphrodite or Aphrodite, the goddess over the temple there at Corinth, she's not real. You guys wasted all of your money. You built a big old temple for her. She's not there. She can't help you. She doesn't hear you. She doesn't see you. She can't speak to you. She doesn't have hands that are going to help you because idols are non-existent. There's only the living God. Amen? That's what Paul is trying to say. However, remember from 1 Corinthians about those idols. Paul said, behind every idol, there is someone. And there's power there too, because behind every idol is a demon. And that is the voice of the idol. Let me read 1 Corinthians 10:20. Paul says, rather that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship. There's that word again, koinonia. I don't want you to have intimacy. I don't want you to be in agreement with. I don't want you to be yoked up with demons, man. He says, I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You know what a demon is. They're Satan's workers, right? They're parasites. They want a host. They have to have a host to manifest their personality. They have to attach themselves to something. He says, don't have fellowship with demons. Now listen to what Paul says. He said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord, that'd be the Lord's Supper, and the cup of demons. You can't celebrate communion and run down to the temple of Aphrodite. You can't do that. He says, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. The word table means fellowship. If you come to my house and we sit down on my dining table and there's food there, we break bread together and we converse, we have intimacy, we have fellowship. Amen? That's what that means. He says, stay out of the pagan temple. That's what he's telling the church at Corinth. And for us, well, we don't eat at the table of the world. You see, listen to me. God's a very jealous God. He's not going to share you, and he's not going to share me. And whatever, loved one, a believer today, whatever a believer loves more, honors more, trusts in more, other than Jesus Christ, God the Father, you follow me? That's where you will find, Christian, your idol. Whatever you trust in or rely upon most, if it's not Jesus. No, listen. You know what? You have to beware of the yoke of idolatry. It's unequal. It won't work for you. It'll never work for you. And you know what it'll do? It'll lead the believer away from God's will for your life. It'll take you far away from the realm of grace where your ministry is located, and you will be wasting the grace of God. Colossians 3:5 says this about idolatry. It says, covetousness is idolatry. In the apostle of love, John, how did he close out of the epistle, 1 John, in chapter 5, verse 21? He says, little children, he says, keep. That word means to guard, protect yourself. Keep yourselves from idols. And then he closed and said, amen, so be it forever. Boy, that is a warning to us all. And look at verse 16 now. He says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the naos, or the temple of the living God. And here come the seven promises. As God has said. Now, there's many scriptures that can be brought into play here. But one in particular would be Isaiah 52:11. You can read that. I'll read it to you in a moment. But it says, as God has said, I will dwell in them. Does God dwell in us? Absolutely. He says, I will dwell in them. He says, I will walk among them. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. He says, I'll be their God, and he is our God. They shall be my people. Therefore, in other words, based on everything we've learned, look what God's word says. Come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He says, remove every unequal yoke from your life. Take it off. Get out from underneath it right this minute. And he says, don't touch what's unclean. I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. What is God saying? He's saying, make a clean break, man. If you're yoked up with something, he says, get rid of it. Make a clean break with your environment. See, Paul used Isaiah 52, verse 11. And that's when the children of Israel, or Judah, they were leaving Babylonian captivity after those 70 years. And you know what God said? He said to them in that verse, he said, depart, oh, depart, be clean. Get all that junk off of you, man. Anything that's yoked up with, get rid of it. He says, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Listen, we now are the vessels of the Lord. Amen? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, clean up everything. Make it all clean. That's why he says in chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us, this is now for us to do, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit too. That's what that's saying. In other words, remove every unequal yoke, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Isn't that amazing? He says for us to do something. He says, man, you need to clean up. Maybe you need to clean up this morning. He says, purify yourselves. Wash yourself off. Take off any yoke that's unequal in your life. He says, get rid of those things. Separate yourself from anything and everything that contaminates you inside or outside. That's exactly what he's saying. Now listen, what does it really mean where it says perfecting holiness? The word perfect or perfecting there in the Greek means to bring something to maturity or to bring something to fruition, completeness. Now, but you know what? It doesn't mean to become perfect because we're not perfect, are we? Okay, very important. Now listen, the moment that you and I, you and me, when we said, Jesus, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. Okay, God in heaven declares you now justified, just as if you've never sinned. And he also declares you sanctified. That word means set apart or to be a saint of God. Hagios, it means holy. So you have now been justified. You have been sanctified, okay? That is your position in Christ. When God sees you, he sees you as those two things. However, sanctification or holiness, you know, perfecting holiness, moving into holiness, a holy walk with the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, let us pursue holiness. Well, the way we do that is by the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. We call that sanctification. Sanctification, loved one, is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You're declared holy, but is your walk holy? No, we have to grow into that. That's why sanctification is a process. Remember what we learned in chapter 3, verse 18? It says, where we are being transformed from glory to glory to glory into the same image as by the Holy Spirit who is working in us. That's what this verse is talking about. But listen to me now. What is the difference between filthiness of the flesh outside and filthiness of the spirit inside? Both are sin. What's the difference between the two? Well, we know, and I know you know, what filthiness of the flesh is. If you read in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says the works, plural, okay, the works of the flesh are what? Oh, come on. You're a well-taught church. The works of the flesh are evident. Amen? In other words, you can see a work of the flesh. I mean, if I heard Tom cussing, is that a work of the flesh? I'm joking, Tom. You know that's not going to happen. Doggone it. But anyway, y'all lighten up. Come on. No, listen. Now, is that a work of the flesh? Yes. The Bible says if the works of the flesh are evident, they're clear, everybody can see them. Why? They're on the outside. About here they are, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, goes on and on, envies, murder, drunkenness, all those things. They're works of the flesh. Get rid of them. Don't yoke yourself up with those. Amen? And then he says filthiness of the spirit. What is that? Well, that's inside. You see, that's like pride, judging, but no one knows you're judging that person. Lying. That was one of the heartbreaks of the pastor's conference. You know, we had a Q&A time, and this young pastor, just, I mean, maybe a year in the pulpit, nice man, young fellow. He stood up and he said, why would the sheep that I love lie to me? And I could tell that his heart was so broken. He says, how can they look me straight in the eye? And what they said, and I didn't know it, it was a lie. It was a total lie. Why would the sheep do that? One pastor gets up weeping. He says, this family that I love, I respect, came to me and said, my son did this. And I said, he did. Yes, he did. It was horrible. He pulled off his belt And he spanked that little boy so much that he wet his pants. And he's standing up, weeping. And he said, and then I found out they lied. And I did that to my son. Filthiness of the flesh. That judging, that lying, that hypocrisy, that mental lusting, whatever you want to call it. Sins without are evident. The prodigal son, my gosh, he was in the pig pen. You can't cover up that. Spent everything he had, his dad's inheritance. He took it and he spent it on riotous living. Not righteous, riotous. Wasted grace, wasted his life. That's sins that are without. But when he came home, when he came to himself, he rehearsed that speech. Oh, Father, I've just make me a servant. I'm no longer your son. Lord, you know, and he comes over and the dad, the prodigal father, there he is. He's running to him. He lifts up his robe and starts running. Oh, there's my son. He's lost. He's now found. He was dead. He's alive. Oh, go get that calf. We're going to have a party. Get the sandals. Get the ring. Get the robe. We're going to cover up his mess, his sin. That was sins without. It's evident. But the elder brother, well, that was sins within that are hidden. Well, you never called a party for me, Dad. I didn't do what that boy did. I've worked for you all my life. Remember, again, the dad said, hey, son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. But your brother was dead, man. But now he's alive. He's home. You see, sins of the flesh, that filthiness, and the sins of the spirit, that filthiness, loved one. No, see, we are to perfect holiness. How? In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. You see, the fear of the Lord, when you fear the Lord, you want to obey him. It doesn't mean that we always do, does it? But we want to do that. You see, we want to obey what he tells us. It says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. What is? That you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You know, we look at all these things here, loved one. Listen, we must beware of the unequal yoke. We are the naos, the temple of the living God. Amen? We are called upon to manifest who we are to this world. We're Christ ambassadors. We're his Christians. Amen? We're his body. Yeah, and that's what we're to do. We manifest Jesus. Jesus came, he manifested the unseen God to the world. Now Jesus in us, we manifest the unseen Christ to the world. But that's what we've called to do. And sometimes we need to be like Jesus when he made the whip and when he cleaned the temple and he goes in there and he ran out the merchandisers, whatever it was, the doves, the money changers, whatever it was. Sometimes we need to do that, check an inventory of our heart and whatever's wrong, get it cleaned up. That's what God tells us to do. Now, beware of the unequal yoke because it will take you where you don't want to go. You're the temple of the living God, church. Listen to me now. Whatever you touch, since you're the temple now, touches God. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 6. And let's look beginning and say, look at verse 15. Do you not know that your body are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? It's talking about sexual sin. He says, certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Look what he says now in verse 18. He says, flee, run with all of your heart. Flee sexual immorality. Why? Well, for every sin that a man does is where? Outside the filthiness of the flesh. Outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Listen, why is that? What does he mean? He means that if a person, a believer, does that, then he is now, if he's joined himself in that type of immorality, he is now sinning against God. Why? You are the naos of God. You're the Holy Spirit of God. Sexual sin, Christian, gives the dwelling place of God, the naos of God, to another. What belongs to God? To another. The dwelling place of the very Holy Spirit of God. Bringing an idol into God's temple is the most defiling attack that any Christian can bring against God, because God inhabits your body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple, the naos, again, the Holy of Holies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is speaking to the individual believer who is in you, whom you have from God. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, here it is, glorify God in your body, that's outside, and in your spirit, which is, that's inside, which are God's. You're bought. Jesus paid for you. Amen? The cost was his blood. 1 Peter 1:18, you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold and so forth. No, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen, your body now belongs to God, and it has a purpose because God owns it. It says, glorify God in your body, that's outside, and in your spirit, which is, that's inside, which are God's. What a joy to know that. Amen? Now listen to me. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe you're listening live right now. Maybe you're in one all over America. I just looked a minute ago, and people from everywhere, from Florida all the way to California, Washington, New York, London, everywhere. Maybe you're sitting at the table. You're listening to me. Maybe you're driving in your car. Maybe you're on vacation, but you're still listening. You're tuning in. Maybe you're sitting here in this chapel, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You have never come to him. Listen to me. Beware of the unequal yoke. God doesn't want you yoked up with fear. He yoked up with hate or unforgiveness. Are you listening to me? He doesn't want any of those things. But if you're an unbeliever, I love you, but listen very carefully. You are yoked up with the devil. I know you don't want to hear that and you don't really believe that, but I'm telling you, God doesn't lie. You are going through this world. You don't even know it, and you're right beside. You're yoked up with him, and he pulls you to the left, and you go, or he wants you to lust over here, and you lust. You don't know why you hate. You don't know why you do this. You just know, I'm trying to make it in this life. That's right. And God says, I love you. God says, I want you. He wants to remove every yoke of bondage from every person's life. Amen? That's why Jesus in his word, if you're an unbeliever, listen to me now. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, with the greatest words, you know what he said? He said, come unto me. Not over here. Go to that person. No, you come to me. Come to Jesus. What a great invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, here's what I'll give you. I'll give you rest. Do you need rest? You yoke up with him. Oh, you'll have rest. He says, a command, by the way, he says, take my yoke. What a wonderful word. Let me take that yoke off of you. Let me kick the devil away from you. Let me remove the destroyer from your life. Let me take you out of Adam and let you be in me. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, learn from me. You yoke yourself up with the Lord. Here I am, and here's the Lord. And you know what? He's going to teach us how to walk and live in this life. Amen? That's what the Lord wants. He says, I'll teach you. Learn from me. He says, and then the only time Jesus ever gave a description of himself in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus said, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you don't know Christ, listen to me. He just gave you a glorious invitation. He says, will you take my yoke? He wants you to take it. He wants to save you. Listen to me, Christian, and everyone. The yoke of Jesus is the only yoke you ever will need in your life. You don't need another yoke, because all the other yokes, they will take you away from God. Do you understand? This yoke right here will lead you straight to heaven. That's what it's all about. And heaven would be your home. It's the only yoke you will ever need. Jesus' invitation said, come, take me. Take my yoke. Take my lowly heart. Question is, will you?
Well, it's been another week of good sound teaching from God's Word. And we want to thank you for studying along with us. Now, Pastor Bill's series continues on our Monday broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. May the Lord bless you with a splendid weekend. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.